Eat this.
Yeah. Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
It's good.
Und gut for you.
For real, for fun, for everyone, you're listening to Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour, the most unique radio show of its kind, every Tuesday at 91.5 FM. Streaming online, archived on our website, gayradioshow.com, with the free TuneIn radio app. You can search WPRK in there and listen to the best in basement radio anytime you want to. And then also live streaming on Facebook. Hello to all of our Facebook streamers. We see lots of hearts, lots of thumbs up. We're watching you guys. You're watching us. It's good to see you. I'm your host, DJ Justice. Episode number 384, last show for the month of June. Some of my cast and crew here with me today going around the circle. She, you know what we just established last week? You were a lot more reliable when you used to come here on a bus.
Yes, much more reliable. Well, now I have the means to go do exactly what I want
to
do.
She used to come here. She used to commit, you know, like 3 hours to a bus ride to and from like Kissimmee to get here to the radio station. And then she got a car, so we were happy about that. But then she started being all kind of, oh, I got a flat tire. I don't have any gas. I have to use my car to do something else.
Well, car, more money, more problems, anyway. As I like to say.
Thank you, Mace. Thank you, P. Diddy. Anyway, Lady Barry Matthews, good to see you again. He's back after a few weeks. Cody's with us. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm
Dollar Menu Dad.
Dollar Menu Daddy issues.
Dollar Menu Daddy issues.
You know, it's funny because that has gotten around to so many of my friends and family, and now I'm really upset about it.
Has it gotten to your daddy?
Oh, if only.
Wait a minute, let's ask him. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
I'm fantastic, and I did hear that, actually, the day that it came up on the radio.
Special guest with us, Steven Johnson. I've known him for a number of years. He's an entertainer. He's a dancer. Very talented. Very cute guy. And so your hair's blue on the side. You coming out of something, or is it just fading? Or
it was fading. It started off, like, bright green and coral and blue. I had to be a mermaid for my kid's dance recital.
I understand. Sounds
so
good.
So I went all the way.
Okay, so anyway, guys, you know, lots of stuff to talk about. We have some serious stuff to talk about, some fun stuff to talk about. I've got a really big announcement. I'm really excited about this. I'm kind of bummed that Bobby and Alex aren't here because I wasn't going to say anything. But, you know how, like, I have my grown-up job, you know, my grown-up legal job, and then I have this radio gig. And you know how, like, I'm an actor on the phone?
Uh-huh.
Hey, how's it going? My name's DJ. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. You seem really cute. You know, like that's my work from home
that's
job.
That's your side job.
That's my side job. I did it as a bet. I took that job as a phone operator actor as a bet, and then I ended up being really good at it. So I've done it for like 2 years, but I'm kind of getting over it.
We want to hear your woman voice.
Hi, I'm Ginger. Hi, what are you up to today? That's so nice. Wow. You sound really cute.
Ginger Minj has dark times after Drag Race.
It's so awkward when they send me... Okay, to give you some preface, sometimes when the phone lines are really full, they'll send me calls that are supposed to go to the girls. And at first, I used to just be like, hey, what's going on? I'm a guy. And they'd hang up right away, so it wouldn't lower my average of my times of being a phone actor. And then they were like, no, you have to do girl voice. I was like, you want me to do girl voice? They're like, hi, how you doing? So I eventually nailed the voice. But I just do not have the psychology of a woman like, hey, how's it going? I'm just sitting around here being a girl. Yeah.
That company
playing with my
so
blah,
much.
Blah, blah, blah.
Do you get any type of warning about who?
There's a little tag. There's right before every call. It'll be like, male fantasy. Or it'll be like barely legal. Like it'll give you like like black chicks, domination. Like it'll give you like a little preface. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. So get this. I got a new job. Guess what I'm going to be doing now? I'm so excited about it. Because it's okay. I work 3 jobs, and I still have way too much free time. I get bored. I get into trouble. I don't need the money. So I've gotten to the luxurious position of my life where I can do what I want to do just because I want to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know? I'm going to drive for Uber.
Aww.
I got the approval text message today. I'm going to be driving an Uber in a town near you.
Uh-oh. Watch out, Twinks of Orlando.
Okay, now I'm not very.
He's gonna hang out.
I was excited about this. Why do you gotta put? You don't think that that's gonna? Think about it. Well, more stories, more fun. Get to drive around, meet new people, new interview potential, new. You never know what could happen.
He's gonna have his BB-8 over here, like his podcast.
See, the problem is y'all just don't appreciate the freedom of my gypsy lifestyle.
Here's DJ Justice live from Uber. Here's a fun twink. I bet apparently he doesn't have a Liam Neeson. Welcome to Taken.
Definitely a movie in the works right now.
If I hook up with anyone from being an Uber driver, it's just because I'm a good Uber driver and I've clocked out for the day.
Or because they have drank far too much and they're incoherent.
I don't like drunk people. I don't drink that much, so drunk people make it awkward. That whole legal thing that I got going on, like the whole lawyer brain, it makes consent like a really obvious thing. So it's like, if have you ever seen the video Unconscious People Don't Want Tea?
No.
Bear with me here. It compares sexual consent to offering someone tea. And it goes, if you offer someone tea and go, hey, do you want some tea? And they're like, oh, yeah, I want some tea. Heck yeah, give me some tea. Then you give them some tea and you're happy. If you offer them tea and they're like, I don't know, maybe I might like some tea. You could make them the tea and you could give them the tea. But by the time it took you to boil the water, pour in the cream and serve the tea, they might have changed their mind and be like, no, I don't want any tea. They wanted tea then. They don't want tea now. Don't give them the tea. Don't be complaining about the tea. Don't be like, oh, you said you wanted it before. You wanted tea last week. If you offer someone tea and they say, no, thanks, I don't want any tea, then don't give them the tea. And this is most important. If someone is unconscious, then don't give them tea. Don't make them drink tea. Don't force them to drink the tea. Unconscious people don't want tea. So put the tea over on the shelf.
Do we make sure they're somewhere safe? Make a public announcement about this? I'm pretty sure people know that you don't give tea.
All I'm saying is unconscious people don't want tea, and I don't even like to give tea to everyone.
What I hate about this analogy is that I'm so gay that all at first when you were talking,
I thought he was talking shade.
When you were talking about this, I thought he was like, "Don't give them tea, hunty. Like, don't do that.
Don't give them the truth."
Unconscious people don't want tea. So, well, okay. Thank you for completely. I thought this was going to be funny. If Bobby had been here, I'm sure he would have been able to come up with some kind of humorous anecdote. That's why I'm pissed he's not here. Alex would have been excited for me. None of you are. You're here. You're here with me. But none of you are for me.
You
and
are
I am
talking.
Disappointed.
We all have cars. We don't need you.
Oh.
Okay, excuse me. I'm going to go outside.
You're telling me.
I'm going to be one of those people that requests you, and then in less than 5 minutes, I'm going to cancel you.
You're telling me that you don't think it would be fun to drive around Uber with me as your driver.
I think about oil changes. That's what I think
there
about.
There you go.
That's a lot of,
I think about
miles.
I think it would be fun.
Car.
It would be fun.
I feel bad. Like, every Uber driver I've ever had has been, like, pretty psychotic. At least in Orlando. I've had negative experiences. I posted about it on Facebook. I had this one guy that was driving my Uber, and he picked me up, and he seemed normal and sane and casual and whatever. And he was telling me about, like, oh, I'm excited, I'm getting a new car next week. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, people getting a new car, that's a great accomplishment. He's like, yeah, I've had 9 cars in 14 years. I was like, oh, that's a little bit upsetting. Like,
yeah.
It's gone in 60 seconds.
Because automatically my brain goes to, he crashes them. But he was like, no, I just, I like trading my cars in. I like getting new cars. I have a lot of commitment issues. I was like, I was like, okay.
Is
and
this
he was
a
like,
date?
No, it gets one step worse. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of what happens when you're adopted. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, are you adopted? And I was like, I don't think that's appropriate.
Do adopted people like to date other adopted people? Is that like a thing?
I'm adopted, so. And no, we don't.
Like, are you put off by other adopted people? Like, oh, you're broken too?
Well, because there are two kinds of adopted people that I've run into. So there's
ones that know and ones that haven't figured it out. Why is mommy and daddy white?
No, life is not a Lifetime movie. So there are two kinds of adopted people. There's the ones that are like hyper affectionate and need attention all the time, 24/7. However, are like super emotional and sensitive. And then there's the other one that are like cold hearted and dead. And they don't want to ever get to know anyone on an interpersonal level. And it's awful. Or there's some kind of intermingling of the two, which is what I kind of
just
become.
To let everybody know, we here at the gay radio show love all people that are adopted.
And
we will be offering free hugs.
I am the adopted poster child. Like,
by the way, I can't believe I was so excited to start the show. I forgot to say, give us a call, 407-646-2915. If you want to call into the show, you can follow us on Twitter at Gay Radio Show. That's Twitter at Gay Radio Show, hashtag Gay Radio Show. We have a bunch of things that are up there for you to check out. Some things I've reposted and retweeted today that are worth mentioning. So hey, it's an anniversary today. Do you know what the anniversary is? It's the 47th anniversary today, June 28th. It's the 47th anniversary of.
I don't know.
Why is Pride in June, you guys? Why?
Oh, Pride! Pride.
Stonewall. It's the 47th anniversary of the Stonewall riots in New York City at the Stonewall Inn. Have you ever been up to New York City to the Stonewall Inn? You ever been up there? You've been up there, Stephen?
Yeah, I have.
You know, when you go there, you feel like the first time I went to New York City and had the time to. This was last summer when I went to go see my New York husband. When I went up there, you feel a little bit of a badge of honor, like, you know, I need to go there. And when you get there, you're kind of like, okay, there it is. And, you know, and then you're
like all national monuments.
and it was
Mount Rushmore,
and it was awesome that, you know, Stonewall just this last week has been recognized as a historic landmark monument. You know, mm-hmm. And you know, as a symbol of LGBT rights. And if you're not familiar with Stonewall, if you're a new gay or if you're a new listener, you know, it was funny. I had been on the show for not even a month, starting back in 2009, and then Miss Sammy, who's a hilarious entertainer, you know Miss Sammy. Miss Sammy is a hilarious entertainer here in Orlando, and she said, "Oh yeah, Stonewall." I'd never heard about it, and she threw a shoe at me and then kind of lectured me on the Stonewall rights, because back in, in 69 when this happened? In 69, it was illegal. There were laws criminalizing homosexuality. You couldn't dance with people of the same gender. And there were regular raids on gay bars and gay clubs. And this was a Stonewall up in New York City was frequented by homosexuals and lesbians and transgender people and drag queens and cross-dressers. And that's, you know, some part of the legacy of cross-dressing, because men would dress as women to dance with the person they wanted to dance with, so it wouldn't give the appearance of two men dancing. And this was the night, and it was after the death of Judy Garland, so people were still mourning, you know, icon Judy Garland passing away. And finally, the patrons at the bar, after another raid, were sick of it. And they finally stood up for their rights and said, hey, no, we're here. You're not going to arrest us this time. Allegedly, the first, you know, rock, you know, going against the police was thrown by a black drag queen, Marsha P. Washington. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is symbolized as the moment when we kind of took back our freedom as, you know, LGBT Americans. And, you know, and I've been very honest about how it took me a while to kind of find my sense of pride, you know, whether because it was because of my own issues or because of being, you know, in Pray the Gay Away therapy. I never felt like I was part of the gay community, or that I didn't really want to embrace the idea of pride, because, you know, I was still holding on to a little bit of self-hate of, you know, well, I don't want to be one of those rainbow gays. I don't want to be one of those. And then, you know, over the last year or two, especially, you know, going through the health issues that I had and coming closer with my family, and then everything that's happened in, you know, our hometown over the last couple of weeks, I've never felt more proud to be a part of something bigger than myself. I finally get the idea of that rainbow, because it took me a while I was trying to figure out how I fit into the entire rainbow. Each color. I was like, well, I don't see myself in all those colors, so it's not for me. And that's not what it's about. It's supposed to be every one of those colors represents a global tribe of different people, different types, different races, different sexes, different identities, different personalities. And that, I think, is when it all became, you know, real to me. So it's the 47th anniversary of, what did you think when you went up to Stonewall up there in New York City?
It was pretty much just like you said. We're like, oh my God, it's Stonewall. I guess let's take a selfie and get a drink and go find something else to do. I mean, it was really cool. We saw it like
Statue of Liberty over there. Let's go do that.
Yeah, that was pretty much. We just went from that bar to the next bar to the
I
next
love the
bar.
Statue of Liberty. She's so fierce.
Well, that's not what any
of us
said.
We've come such a long ways from then. I mean, just, boy, what a 4 days ago, we hit our 1 year mark of marriage equality. So
yeah.
We've come so long.
I remember being at NYC Pride when marriage equality was passed, and there were riots of joy. Like, it was every single bar
was, riots of joy. I'm so happy. Punching people. I'm like, I'm excited as hell. Stealing a VCR. Like, I'm so ecstatic. I'm gonna break this window and light this car on fire.
That's what happens when sports teams win.
Yeah.
So
why can't gays do it? Come on, legislation.
But don't worry, we'll fix it after we do.
Gay people have sports.
And then gentrify.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is coming back, okay?
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, you're right. RuPaul's Drag Race is gay sports.
It is.
It's emotional, it's intense, especially the finale. I was at the Southern viewing party, and there were riots. Riots! Nobody said Naomi Smalls but me.
I've said this before. Every year it's the same. When RuPaul's Drag Race finale comes on, I can't believe they picked that queen. Oh, it's the worst queen ever. I'm never going to watch it again. I'm moving to Canada. Shut up.
Yeah, call your
No, you're not. You're going to watch it again next year. You're going to go see him in concert. So shut up. Just, it's a TV show. Yeah. Get over it. You're not on it, so don't talk.
That's more incentive to vote.
Oh. You can't vote for RuPaul's Drag Race.
You should. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No, yeah. She doesn't take that into account. She just wants you to do that because she wants the hashtags and the like.
I think if you look up historically, you can like run reports on the Google of hashtags and stuff. And historically, everybody who has the most mentions and hashtags and things and likes has been the winner.
You're telling me.
Jinx Monsoon is a perfect example.
Exactly.
She got those little teeny boppers with water off a duck's back, and then she won. I don't know how, but she did.
I love her.
I love her too, post de facto.
There's a lot of insecure theater kids out there.
Yes.
I'm one of them.
You're telling me that RuPaul actually takes the time to look and have someone give her the information and say, oh yeah, this queen's in the lead for your consideration? I don't think
no,
so.
No, because RuPaul,
it's all about ratings.
No, RuPaul has an assistant to wipe her ass. You don't need, she doesn't she pays someone to do that.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, it's 420. You know what that means on Out Loud Orlando. What does that mean?
He's gonna take that pill.
Aspirin?
Big ol' horse pill.
Don't forget, on Out Loud Orlando at 420, it's time to take your Truvada. Yeah, that's right, everyone. Find out about pre-exposure prophylaxis. Talk to your doctor about PrEP. Find out if Truvada's good for you. It's covered by most insurances, and it can keep you from catching HIV.
And if it's not covered by insurance, then is it Gilead or Gilead?
Well,
Gilead. They have a copay assistance program.
They do, and a lot of other organizations are helping with that too. So once the CDC kind of got on board, I think the whole Truvada shaming, Truvada whore, slut shaming thing kind of got pushed to the side and said, yo, let's just wait and see if this decreases the number of new infections of HIV over the next 5-10 years. I think it's going to.
Yeah.
The science backs up.
I'm going to my doctor this week to get it.
Listen, I'm not saying I was a big old whore or nothing, but all I'm saying is I'm still negative and...
he tested that. He definitely was a guinea pig for it.
You're going to go on... You have a doctor's appointment next week for it?
This week.
Enjoy your Truvada poops. You got 2 weeks of them.
You keep talking.
I'm telling you, it's real.
Anytime you start taking a new medicine daily, your body has to adjust to the fact that there's a different substance in it.
Am I the only one who likes to poop, though?
Truvada. It's
I like the alone time.
It's not going to like those 2 weeks.
Only alone time.
All right. Thank you very much. Oh, I had a question. So we're talking about the 47th anniversary. Anytime something goes on, like police raids, you know, back in the day in 69, obviously we're in a very different age and time. Do you feel or do you think the New York City Police Department should ever issue an apology to gay people for Stonewall? Do you think they're obligated to say, hey, listen, sorry about that thing that happened back in 67? You know how we always have after, like, you know, an event happens or we look at it after the fact and someone feels inclined to apologize for the behavior of predecessors or for the past? What do you think?
No. I definitely think no. Because, first of all, the cops that are there now had nothing to do with it. It was 47 years ago. Now, if any of the cops that were there that night are still living...
Officer Johnson was there.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he can come out and apologize, but I think that city
I'm sorry, queers.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the city itself embraces the LGBT community so much that they've apologized enough.
Well, I don't think they have to apologize for that reason that there's no officers there. But on top of that, they literally protect the people at pride parades.
Exactly.
So, no, of course
not. What do you think about, like, you know, like, there's always that one old racist grandpa that you're kind of like, you don't know what they're going to say. So they bring out, like, the old 90-year-old police officer. Like, yeah, I was there at Stonewall, and I'm sorry. Sorry I didn't take out more of your fruit jars before.
You sound like my grandpa.
No, thank you.
While you're at it, Mississippi can apologize for the last
years. What do you look? You're still dancing? What are you doing, blue hair?
Oh, pretty much. They didn't know.
Yeah. So anyway, it's an interesting question. The New York City Police Commissioner actually said, hey, no apology is needed. And they said, listen, my department doesn't owe an apology for raids on gay bars such as the one that led to the Stonewall riots. But as you said, this took place back in 1969. No one is part of the organization that was part of those events. And, you know, so even though he's acknowledging the past, they were following the law as it was written at that time. And, exactly. And so they acknowledge, hey, our predecessors were doing their job. But then I love when he says this. He says, actually, if you think about it, an apology isn't necessary. The only the apology is all that has occurred since then.
Yes.
Yeah, protecting the parades.
Exactly.
And the various countless things that they've done for people that have gotten assaulted outside of clubs, they have from what I've witnessed, a great track record of catching people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton said there's no doubt denying that of this terrible experience came so much good that it was the tipping point. So, you know, I thought that was interesting. So happy anniversary to Pride. And so we're going to be going. Let's do the three things that Justice learned this week.
three things that Justin's learned this week. The three things he learned this week. Not one or two or four or five. It's the three things he learned this week. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, three things.
That makes me not want to learn anything at all.
Nothing.
Cool. Learn how to vomit.
Hey, you know what? I've said this before. If you go up to our Facebook page, facebook.com/gayradioshow, and then it's also if you go to orlandoweekly.com/vote, it is the very last day to vote for nominees for the Best of Orlando. And I'm very hesitant sometimes to solicit votes and say, hey, go vote for us for this. But I'm actually I love the publication. I love what it means to the city. I think it's a part of our culture. And I love what this show has become over the last year. So I'm not shy about saying, if you like the show, if you hear the sound of my voice, if you watch the podcast, listen to the live stream, show us and show me a little bit of love. Go to orlandoweekly.com/vote, and you can go to the category for local flavor, and you can vote for us in a couple different categories. You can vote for the radio show in... Did you vote yet, Lady Barry?
I did.
And tell me about it. What did you vote? Who did you vote for?
I didn't vote.
You really didn't vote?
Not yet.
I tagged you in the post.
I know, but it's complicated.
It is really the voting system, that website is very confusing.
Well, it's going to be easier because it's populated with the people that have already voted for. So all you have to do is start typing and then everything else pops in. So if you go to Local Color, you could vote for us for Best Local Podcast. You know, and I say put the whole name of the show, Outlaw Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, or GayRadioShow.com or 91.5 FM. So you could do Best Local Podcast, Best Local Radio Show, Best Local Radio Personality, Best Local Website, and like I said, I would take it as a personal sign of gratitude for what we do, and you know, it can show, you know, the people that listen to the show are amazing. The feedback is amazing. You know, we've turned a new page with everything that's happened in this town, and then also with the live stream video. And I would like to see us. I would like to see us be a nominee. So this gets us onto the ballot, so the official voting will then bring up, you know, hey, favorite radio show, and it'll give you four or five options that people can then vote for the winner. I want us to be one of those options. Yeah. I want us to be
awesome.
Noticed and have that be reflected.
I did the radio show one, and then I did the photography, the Black Rose Photography.
Yeah, I don't know who that
was. Morgan LeShade's company. It's over in Tampa.
Very nice, good job. So that's the first thing that I learned this week. And, this is gonna be where'd it go? We're still talking about the events that happened. Pulse nightclub, you know, the shooting. We've lost friends. It's brought you know, hashtag Orlando United. One of the people that I know that passed away that I thought was always a ball of energy and very fun was Drew Lanahan. His real name is Chris, but we always called him Drew. You know, when all those names started coming out, people you didn't know had passed away or injured because you didn't either know their real name or didn't know what name they went by. But anyway, so Drew passed away. And if you go to our Twitter page, Twitter Gay Radio Show, you'll see that I retweeted from his friend, Joshua Yule. Joshua Yule started a petition to get his friend Drew Lanahan immortalized in the Star Wars franchise. And that's because Drew was a self-proclaimed big gay nerd, loved Star Wars. And so he said, hey, so he's... addressing this letter to Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, Bob Iger, CEO of Walt Disney, and anyone else that's behind the Star Wars film, saying, hey, please immortalize as the first openly gay, the first LGBT character in the Star Wars universe, you know, to commemorate this guy, Drew. And he kind of is very open about it. He says, hey, you know, however you come up with a Star Wars character, whether it's like a name generator, or you turn the name backwards, or you make him an alien, or you make it look like him. And at first I was like, oh, that'd be cool, but is it a compliment? Like, if they make your friend look like an alien on Star Wars, does it mean your friend look like an alien? Or, I mean...
No, of course not.
That'd be an honor.
Like, would you be embarrassed if you died and someone, like, brought you back as, like, a Wookiee?
No. Okay. Please, by all means.
I would love to be a Wookiee.
I am very hairy.
Do not get mad at me. My job is to ask rhetorical questions to... I almost cursed. To push the conversation, bro.
We're just passionate. We want to be aliens. Exactly. Don't take that away from me.
What are the little furry things called?
Ewoks.
Ugh.
Hey, anything that boosts my resume, please. By all means, make me hairy, make me an alien.
That should be your Grindr profile. His friend came up with the idea while driving home from his funeral, saying nothing would make him happier than for all the little gay nerds out there to have their own Star Wars character to look up to. So far, it's received, I think, thousands and thousands of signatures, as well as a positive amount of feedback with the hashtag hashtag put Drew in Star Wars, saying this, a character that would kind of reflect his personality, his likeness, his name in some way. It would honor his memory, but not only that, would be commemorating, you know, what's just happened. So I thought that was, you know, I think at this point, you know, we talked to last week, we had a clinical psychologist and we had a grief counselor on the show with us, and they offered a lot of really great advice saying, hey, you know, everyone's going to process what's happened differently. You know, if you get to a point where weeks after it's happened, you're not able to function, like you're sleeping, your nightmares, you know, then maybe really consider talking to someone so you can make sure your ability to function isn't being hindered by, you know, by your emotional intake or outtake. So, you know, trying to find other stories that acknowledge where we are. I think that's the return to normalcy. Although we know, you know, here in Orlando that's not going to happen. Like, I haven't been back to the Dr. Phillips Center since the vigil the Monday after. I haven't been back to Pulse Nightclub. I drove by it and found myself slowing down, and then I had to go ahead and just keep driving because I wasn't prepared to stop. I didn't want to look at it that way. I didn't want to see it that way. It's like when someone passes away or when something happens, do you want to remember it as you remember it? Or, you know, I always say that when someone elderly dies. I was like, hey, when old grandma dies, what picture do you want to put in the newspaper in the obituary? The one where she's feeble and, you know, 95 years old, or one when she's, you know, younger and beautiful and happy? Mm-hmm. You know, like, how do you want to remember someone? I know you went and checked
it
out.
Yeah, no, my parents actually just visited me for the first time. I moved to Florida 5 years ago.
And bio parents?
My adoptive parents. Oh. I was adopted by a lesbian couple, and so they visited me in Florida.
Whoa, you have lesbian moms?
Mm-hmm, I've got two moms!
How did I not know this?
So, yeah, so Donna and Leanne were in town, and they were...
Wait, don't you just call them, like, mom and mom, or is one mom or one mother or mommy? Or
When I say mom, I'm usually talking about Donna, and then when I say Leanne, I just say Leanne. I've never called her mom.
Is one like I'm sorry, I'm very intrigued by this. Is one? Are they both femme? Is one stereotypically butch?
No,
are they both
no,
like?
No, neither.
Are they both flannel wearers?
No, they're just regular women. They're just They're like the regular women that you would see just out at the grocery store.
Do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Also adopted, or?
No, he's the biological one.
Yeah, so they love him more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, he gets his, you know, phone bill paid for. So anyway, they
I'm not bitter.
So
not
they were they were in town, and I thought that it'd be a really good idea to, they asked me specifically if when they came here on Sunday, if they could go to the Pulse Memorial. And so I took them to Hamburger Mary's Brunch, which, by the way, 3 days before I booked a reservation, I still got, like, the back of the house, like, could not see anything, but still super satisfying because the queens walk out there. But, so I took them to the Pulse Memorial afterwards, and it was the first time I had been there since, and it was a pretty invigorating experience.
How so do you mean invigorating? Everyone I've heard has just said it's been emotional.
It is emotional, but the fact is there's so much stuff that people have left there from all over the world. Mm-hmm. People have come to see this. It is now a memorial.
It's just right by the sign, correct?
It's because just right by the sign.
The club is still closed off.
Is condemned. It is.
So it's right by the sign. Can you still get on the patio? Or no. Is the white fence still there? Is that down?
It's not a white fence. It's just a gated fence. But the gate is covered in like a cloth material.
Okay.
Kind of like the construction cloth. And so there are small holes in it for the wind so it doesn't like get puffy, but you can kind of peek through the holes. But there's so many flowers. There are thousands of flowers, like individual flowers that have been left, and then bouquets and cards and gifts and things that kids have made, and teddy bears and stuffed animals and rocks with things painted on them. And just there's so much stuff that's there that is just so touching. And there are poems written that they're all so inspiring. And to be able to bring my parents to see it. Growing up in a gay household, I've never known any other lifestyle. I've only known queer lifestyle since literally a child. It was really impactful for us to be able to experience all that outpour of love together. And was it emotional? Absolutely. Of course.
You know, speaking of emotional, you know, now as weeks are going by, you know, the initial shock of what has happened wears on, we deal with the reality. Comes the ever-present question that I think is going to be different for anyone, including media outlets, including us. You know, they're petitioning and trying to get the series of 911 calls. You know, so you have to ask yourself, you know, is it appropriate for the news to play these 911 calls? You know, is it newsworthiness? Is it worth sharing? Or is it you know, if we're hearing gunshots go off as lives are, I mean, and then, I mean, I'll be honest, I have to ask myself, would I want to hear them? And I'm not sure.
I don't agree that people should hear them because it's...
You like to be the first one to talk every time I ask
sorry,
a question.
Sorry, I apologize. No, go ahead. I've thought about this a lot. There are things that inspire copycats, and it's... There was a reason why they didn't... there was a... I don't want to talk about that, actually. I'm going to switch topics. But there are things that inspire copycats, and I believe that that's going to be something that inspires it, and I don't want to see that happen.
One of the things, I think, was... Lady Barry, would you listen to the 911 calls?
I wouldn't, because it would make me too emotional, but I think people's curiosity and the public, people who are not affected by it, are going to want to hear it.
As soon as one news organization releases them,
They're
all going to have to, because no one wants to be the one that doesn't have the scoop. Everyone exactly. wants the clicks. Everyone wants to have the, you know, the news.
I think out of respect, like when they redacted the documents of the investigation of the timeline from that night, they did that in respect for the families.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like 2 days later, they said, okay, we're going to give you the full documentation. So because the public, people that are not affected by this 100%, like people that don't live here, people that are not related or friends with those who were lost, they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of just normal human curiosity. So I don't blame them for wanting to know.
Right.
You know, because when things happen in other places, when the Paris attacks happened, I was glued to the news wanting to see information about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't affecting me, but I wanted to know. And so I don't blame people for having that curiosity, but I think out of respect for those who are affected by it, they shouldn't release it yet. It's too close to the time.
I think so. And then, I mean, the obvious question if we're looking at 911 calls is if, you know, we know that there is video surveillance, you know, is yes. that video going to ever be released? And if it was released, what news organization would show it and what would they mm-hmm. show? And then, you know, would you watch it? This is going to sound bad, and I don't want it to. I don't want to see it because I know it would make me sad and make me upset. But some part of me wants to see and understand. It's just, I think I would watch the videos. And I don't know if that makes me a good or a bad person. I just, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to have that opportunity. I'm not clamoring to. I don't want to. I'm not begging to. But I think... If people are being, you know, I mean, do you think that there are people that want to see, I mean, if this mm-hmm. was, would you want to see your loved one or your friend, or is that too much? Or can you separate? I don't know. Is that even a weird question to ask? Or because it's going to be out there.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different videos out there. I remember as a kid watching movies like Faces of Death, where they would show real clips.
Come
of
on,
people
90s
getting hurt.
VHS.
That's right. 90s VHS. I personally would not watch it at all. I hate violence. I hate when people put things on the Facebook that are like fights or people getting hurt or
yes.
slamming into things. I absolutely get nauseous from it. So if I were to even see a clip of it, I'd probably lose it.
You know what? I think I might have just talked myself out of my own argument. Does that ever happen to you where you start talking and then you kind
exactly.
of think about like the logical progression of your thought process? I don't know. The reason I would not watch the videotapes is for the reason I just described earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have a visual because we've heard about the horrific things that happened at that club, but we haven't seen it. So the images I have of that club, of those rooms, of those bars, of that space, of
mm-hmm.
Pulse, I have those burned into my memory and in photographs of really good times that I treasure. You know, do I run the risk of tainting the memories
mm-hmm.
by, you know, so I think in that regard, you know, we can't stop it if it comes out, but maybe that, you know.
But we don't have to watch it either.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
Well, like,
I think it's a personal preference at that point.
I love it when I'm so persuasive that I persuade myself
exactly.
to change my argument. It's like, wow, I am really a really persuasive speaker.
But
and a good
honest.
Lawyer.
It's also,
I am so freaking humble.
It's also so counterproductive. I believe wholeheartedly that if it doesn't actually help society, then why is it, does it exist? Or
that's
why is it
point.
Put out there?
That's a good
so
point.
So there is so much useless information that's out there in the world. All you need to, sometimes all you need to know
show.
All you need to know sometimes is that A, this thing happened. What actually occurred in the mix doesn't necessarily, it won't change your life.
Yeah.
So all right. that creation of negativity
then I guess
is just
I, then I guess
it
that. Could just be then people's morbid curiosity.
That's
you know?
Exactly what
I mean,
it is.
That's gonna
And it's human nature. We are a curious
Why?
Race of
Why?
People.
Tell him that.
There's a really good infographic floating around on Facebook where it's like, before the internet, I only had like one or two bad news a day. And then now after the internet, I have 46 bad news hour. And then like, she's like, sometimes you gotta turn off your phone and read a book outside by a tree, and a butterfly lands on her head and she says, the world economy is in shambles.
That's really funny. You know, speaking of, we got to move on to Learning with Lady Barry and then also do a little bit of news. No show next week. I'm going to be out in Washington State visiting my brother, going to Seattle, relaxing. I'm going to be unplugged doing, you know, the whole wilderness thing in Bellingham. You know, my brother lives on this beautiful, majestic lake. And I'm just going to be kind of like woodsy in it. Going to go up to Vancouver for a couple of days. We have listeners in Vancouver.
You're so white.
Some of our long-term listeners.
I'm going to go to my brother's house on the lake. And then we're going to Vancouver.
I don't know why you're saying
on the yacht.
I'm tired of going to my parents' house on the lake. No, but I'm going to go up to Vancouver. We have listeners and fans up in Vancouver that have been like, hey, I'm getting put up in Vancouver and going to meet up with some listeners and go get shown the town. So I'm excited about that. Kind of nervous, too, because anytime I go to another country, especially if, you know, I know they speak English, but I'm always kind of worried about, you know, the international impression that I give anytime I'm kind of representing the country.
You're not an ambassador. Nobody's going to think you represent the entire country of the United States.
I don't know why you're saying there's no show next week, because this next week we're introducing me and Alex's Hey Girl Happy Hour.
No, you're not. Don't do that. That brings me to my next point.
Yes, Mama God, girl.
Nope. You will find this is the narcissist egomania in me. You never give your job to somebody else, because that's how I got this job. The guy that was hosting the show that was like, not that good at it, he like went away for 2 weeks and said, hey, just host the show while I'm gone. I reformatted, I changed it up, I did it my way. He came back, he's like, wow, a lot of feedback. You want the time slot, you want the show? I was like, yes sir, I do. So that's why we do best of shows. It's a time for us to go through and collect some of our clips. So I was gonna say, think about I want it to be, you know, we want to try and uplift the spirits. I want to pick some funny clips. The one I definitely thought of, I liked our conversation about the alleged homeless hookup. Remember the homeless hookup that I had?
Yes.
What other bits or segments can you think of that would be worth including? Because I got to go put that best of show together before I leave. I got to go through the old archives.
I don't remember eating lunch today. You want me to remember weeks from now? No.
You showing your wiener to Bobby's mom?
I didn't do that. Shut up!
I mean,
that didn't happen
at all. It wasn't on purpose.
I just imagined you in a trench coat, just like flashing Bobby's mom.
Listen,
in the middle of a restaurant.
All I'm saying is, if you sit next to a gay man and they're on their phone on Grindr, you keep your eyes on your own paper, okay?
Oh, see, that's harmless.
You're not
on the phone.
Yeah,
no. It sounded like you were like waving it at her, like, hey, look, it goes and makes a little loop.
Yeah, that would imply that it's big enough to do that. So thank you. You're giving me way more credit than I deserve. But
you are.
What other bits can we think of? I don't know. Since you've been on the show, what do you remember as being like a funny segment or a funny bit?
Girl, I've done the show like 2 times. Like,
can you do the best fights on air?
No, I want to try
those
and
are
pick
fun.
Funny
no,
stuff.
That is funny.
Whenever I get,
I'm always the one who observes it. Like when Bobby and Alex are arguing about something that Alex has said, because it's so funny. It's so funny. And I love them both, but it's
leave
I just
little,
sit here and
leave my
laugh.
Little prince alone, all right? He's my ride or die. He's my buddy. Like, I appreciate what he brings to the show in its own unique 21-year-old hipster way.
You have plenty of material here. If you do next week, you do a show called Show Notes on Air, where you pretty much just take all of... It would take, like, 8 hours for you to put that compilation together, you know? Because you give show notes on air all the time.
I try not to. I don't think I've done it today, though. I don't think I've done any show notes.
Not yet.
Well, it's
girl,
we still have 18 minutes.
Yeah, speaking of 18 minutes, let's go ahead and break into... we're going to be doing a bit coming up. My goal is to do it in July. Mm-hmm. We're going to be... let me get the segment started. And then we'll do it. Where is it? Where's your music, girl?
I don't know. You find it. Was it Born This Way?
Not you. I'm doing Lady Barry's bit.
Oh, the little fancy music?
Oh, here we go. And now it's time for Learning with... Lady Barry Matthews.
It's the first time you've ever used my last name.
Hi, Lady Barry.
There you go.
Sounds like VeggieTales.
How are you doing?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, better than I deserve. So listen, we're gonna be doing a dating game because lately because Lady Barry is tired of being a single berry.
Wants to be many berries.
I see a music video in the works.
So we're gonna do a dating game.
Okay.
And I already made a post about it today. I already got a lot of feedback on it, so I kind of gave you some instructions. I'm going to start vetting potential applicants, and we're not trying... I'm actually trying to be serious. I'm going to try and get a sponsorship to whoever you want to go on a date with. Well, I'll take care of the dinner or the date idea.
Make sure it's a good sponsor.
Well, yeah, we would obviously take care of the situation.
They're going to take you to Checkers.
Oh, I do like Checkers, though. Their spicy chicken sandwich is amazing.
Anyway, go on dating.
And, and so, you know, what I'm looking for is guys that are looking to go on a date. Now, let's be clear about this. A date does not mean you're guaranteed to boom, snap, clap it with Lady Barry. A date does not mean you're going to be somebody's life partner. It means, hey, go on a date, someone that's interested in getting to know somebody else. And, you know, I'm going to try and do a little bit of vetting. I want to get people that I think you'd be compatible with. I'm going to kind of get your feedback too. What are some of your non-negotiables? Like when it comes to someone that you would date or be interested in getting to know, what are some of the things that you will not compromise on? Like and it could be physical, it could be personality type. I want to get a better portrait of maybe who I should bring in that would be willing to come on the show, be open, have a fun time, and then just kind of see maybe who you click with.
Your red flags.
The red flags. One thing that's...
Red flags.
All of them. I need your red, orange, and yellow flags. All of them.
One thing that really turns me off the most is stupidity. You cannot, you cannot be unintelligent. You can have some stupidity, but you can't be, dumb. I like to have a conversation.
Now, when you say dumb, do you mean specifically, do they need to have graduated high school or have gone to college? Or do you just say, don't be a stupid person? Like, it's not necessarily a book, it's not a degree book smart type intelligence.
No, you don't have to have book smarts, but you have to have some kind of street smarts. You can't be... You know, just blonde.
You can't be no offense from Mean Girls.
But I'm talking exactly. It's okay. Exactly. The dumb chick from Mean Girls.
Okay.
That kind of because right, I have no tolerance.
Let me write that down. Don't be dumb chick from Mean Girls. Is there a Z at the end of it?
Yes.
Girls. Okay. What else?
I'm very open. Did my music start over? I was you cut me off.
That's my seamless edit with the sound.
The thing is I have standards, and I have things that I look for in a guy, but I'm very flexible on them. I guess it's probably
okay.
I don't,
feel like you've really given me enough. Do you know what you want?
I know what I want.
You know what you want.
I know what I want.
Is it realistic?
But they're negotiable.
You
said non-negotiables. They're negotiable. Okay. I like tall men.
Okay, you like tall.
I like tall. Okay. I like masculine men.
Bigger than you, smaller than you.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't like them too skinny though. I feel like I'm gonna break them.
You know, I've never known you to be a no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no Asians. But do you have a preference towards the type of person you're attracted to? Because let's be honest, the penis does the picking. You know, you have to be attracted
that's not the case for me.
No.
It's not. The brain does the picking. Now, if you're talking about the actual member...
Come on, go.
If you're talking about the actual member, if it's tiny, go away.
Oh, size queen.
No. I'm talking average.
So what do you think
as far as
what you bring to the table? What do you think you bring to a potential dating scenario, looking for a relationship potentially?
Before we go into that, I do have two non-negotiables.
Okay,
let
me write them down.
You have to have a car and a job.
Okay.
Because I'm not picking you up and I'm not paying for everything.
That whole picking somebody up thing, you think it's going to be okay at first.
Yeah.
And then after about a month, you're you start to resent that car ride every time. You're
you become
know what?
Uber.
Yeah.
You definitely become Uber without the pay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I live in Kissimmee, and no offense if you live in Kissimmee, but a lot of the queens out there don't have cars.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of public transportation. So, but the things that I look for... Tall, masculine. What was the other question you asked me?
I had a different question. When we actually get it set up, and I have, I narrow it down to some guys that I think might be worthwhile to bring in and meet you, do you want them, traditional dating game style? Do you want them to be on the air so you can see them right away? Or would you prefer to talk to them maybe first without seeing them to kind of go with just personality? And then maybe after you've maybe narrowed from five to two or three, then get to see them? Or do you need to see and hear at the same time? I want to set it up in a way that is appealing to you.
We're going to make this very official. I need a profile on each person.
You're not going to get that. You need to get to know them because they have as much.
Going to have a background check.
I need a background check, HIV test, all that good stuff.
Credit score.
I do need a credit score because you know I'm black and mine's low.
We can do all this, but I hear a lot of joking. And when I hear all the joking, it kind of makes me feel like maybe this isn't like something. Do we want to make this a jokey game or do you want it to be semi?
Let me answer your question. Okay. Shush.
I'm trying to help you out so you're not a single berry.
All right, so I would like to speak to them first.
A single berry is a sad berry.
A bunch of berries. It's fun.
Eat the berries.
I would like to talk to them first, like on the phone. Shut up. Drink your cherry Coke.
Do you want it to be mildly blind or like do you want like horse blinders? Like how blind do you want this?
Like the initial conversation can be just talking to them.
Okay.
Without seeing them.
Maybe
because, I'm more attracted to personality than I am to, because I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with this, but if you talk to somebody like without seeing them first, and then when you actually meet them, you're like, oh, that's not a person I would date, but their personality makes them attractive.
Right.
Somebody that I can look at from across the room, be like, but then I talk to them, then I'm like, oh, okay, this person's actually kind of cute.
Welcome to my entire sex life.
And then there's the opposite of that with like online apps where you see somebody who's gorgeous, who's great, and talking via text, and then you get them in front of a person, and they just sit there and they, and they don't know how to hold a conversation anymore.
Exactly. Maybe we could do like an initial, we could do it like over the course of maybe 1 or 2 weeks. We could start with maybe phone calls and say, hey, you need to call in first. And then you can kind of say, hey, that person really kind of struck my interest. Like kind of get that initial personality chemistry thing. Then we can, from that group, kind of bring it. It'll be like a tiered elimination style.
You should make them take like a little quiz. Like,
do you know
what's your favorite?
It's gonna be like a 4-month-long dating process. But you have to commit to like it's gonna be longer. It's gonna be longer than Orlando Drag Race Live. You got to commit to this bit.
I committed to that. I made it to the end. As long as I'm not cheating in this one, I'm okay.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're gonna make it to the end of your own dating competition this time. I mean, unless they all decide to date each other and leave you out in the cold.
You know what?
Didn't that happen with your dating game with Pepe?
I was going to say, the reason I'm so excited about this is because
the first time I met you.
I've met all of my Orlando friends from that dating game. Pepe is the only reason I have any friends in Orlando.
I don't think that's necessarily true. You're a very nice person and you're good enough and you're smart enough, even though you're adopted and no one really loved you.
That's not true. I'm not a nice person.
Yeah, I can count. I can vouch.
Yeah, no, I'm very awful sometimes.
A little bit.
I don't know why. Especially when I drink. I yelled at a shop boy the other day.
Hold on, I need to know the context of this.
I don't want to talk about the context of this. I apologize right after.
Listen, I can give you some advice on that because I yell at shot boys regularly, like, get out of my house! No, I'm not paying for your community college!
No, you cannot use my shower.
You said it didn't hurt!
Why are you eating my lunch meat?
Lunch meat.
Leave it out of this.
Hold on, that's a real story?
That was the homeless hookup. He was eating my lunch meat.
Did I miss this? Was this on a show
You'll have to tune into the best of Outloud Orlando, the home
You know
happy
I don't listen to this show if I'm not on it.
All right, so. we'll keep talking off the air because I wanna take this seriously. And like I said before, you have to practice dating. Dating is something you need to practice so you see what you're good at. Like you can't go to one person individually and think, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? You need to figure out what it is you bring to the table and what the other person needs to bring to the table, and you get that by dating, and you kind of learn about yourself, and you learn very quickly, hey, this is a dating potential, this is a friendship potential, there's more to you than meets the eye. And I think you have to be very aware of that to grow. You have to practice. You have to know. Edward A. Kemper said, a man must fully know himself before he can learn to master himself. And I think that applies to dating as well.
When I was a tiny doe-eyed thing.
10 minutes ago?
I'm much more not as doe-eyed anymore. Back when I was a tiny doe-eyed thing, I would constantly, my thing was like, oh, be dumb and giggly. It'll get you all the wiener. It doesn't. So, any advice to young little twinks out there? Don't do that. Have some conversation and personality.
Can we call this dating game Lady Barry's Never Been Kissed?
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah. Just to let everybody know, I've never had a boyfriend.
I love, what was that? Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore was in that. Yes. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I want to go back to high school.
Let's do a little let's do a little bit of news here, Cody.
Let's do it.
Oh.
Yes! Yes, Gaga!
Yes! Yes. Gaga, yes.
Why is that my intro?
All right. Throw some news in there, please.
I hate that that's my intro is the yes, but I agree with it. I see yeah. where you went.
You don't hate it.
No, like it. I don't. I just like complaining.
It's your ringtone.
So I have two news stories in front of me. The first one is the U.S. military has announced that transgender people will be allowed to serve openly from July 1st this year. Wow, that's really soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like a couple days away.
Yeah. I was surprised that I didn't hear about this until today.
Yeah, no, I feel like this is an older story.
For our transgender... for our
it's
transgender,
from like 2013.
It's good news. It's big news for our transgender brothers and sisters.
I'm just reading this. I'm sorry that I didn't read this before. Defense Secretary Ash Carter.
Thank you.
Earlier.
Enunciate.
Put emphasis on the syllable. earlier this year reiterated a commitment to allow trans people to serve in the U.S. military. This is amazing. He gave quotes.
The reaction is real.
Welcome back to I'm surprised by my own news.
Because I usually try not to read them because I try to give like a really organic response. And this is definitely a very organic response. At long last, thousands of brave transgender patriots will be able to serve our nation openly with the respect they deserve. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing.
I like can you give the numbers now? I think it's the very bottom of the article.
Trans rights advocates estimate that 15,000 people... military troops, that's grammatically incorrect, out of around 2.2 million maybe transgender. Wow.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I think it's important. You know, I think that it's so awesome that trans rights have become, you know, that the T is at the end of the LGBT, because at one point, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in place and that being openly gay could get you discharged from the service. You know, we need to look out for each other. And even though it is only 15,000, it is still 15,000 Americans. It is still 15,000 people that we have a common bond with that are part of, you know, this one human family that we call life. And it's awesome to see that if someone chooses to serve their country, it's based on their contributions to the military and not based on anything else other than that, you know, namely what gender you were born, yet what gender you identify as being.
Do you know what's, I find it amazing that they passed this legislation.
It's just a change in policy because it's coming from the military. It's from the defense secretary. They just changed the policies that are in place. No one voted on this. It wasn't a legislative, you know, tactic.
You do know that they were trying to vote on a new policy change, and it was a legislation that they were going, it was called MIJA, whatever. It was about like Military Justice Reform Act.
I didn't tell you that Filipino twink's name.
Oh, well, now I know. But it's to help those who get raped and things like that and sexual assault. And they didn't pass that. They didn't pass it to make it easier for people who are raped or sexually assaulted in the military to get help and to prosecute those who attack them. But they changed that policy.
That's awesome.
They need to do both, actually.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I'm afraid for like our gay and lesbian military, you know, people who are serving in the military that they're not getting the protection that they need.
Right.
I really wish I would have ended with that story because the next story is not nearly as positive, and I always like to end on a good note.
That's okay.
Actually, this is kind of positive in itself.
Your voice is really piercing in my headphones today.
That's like, because I have a shrill, annoying voice, and that's what I captioned the video with.
He was raised by two women.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
Okay, you know I'm not into you that way, but if you do notice, anyone watching the live cam stream, his cheeks are really red and flush right now, which is an awkward turn-on for me. Anytime someone's cheeks get, like, red or kind of flush, I'm just kind of, I'm a little bit...
Ooh, you know? Rosacea. Ooh.
I have rosacea, I'm sorry. It's awful. So, I don't know if you guys remember, but Pastor Roger Jimenez is learning the hard way that...
Jimenez.
Is learning the hard way that sometimes actions do indeed have consequences. So, have you guys seen that YouTube video?
Yes, ma'am.
Floating around of that psychopath pastor saying that, are you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think that's great. I think that helps society. Well, his landlord has decided that he doesn't really like those statements, and he is terminating his lease, and now his church will not be there any longer, and that makes me very happy. Yeah.
And you know what, though? Can I see the article really quick?
Yeah.
I like giving this specific language. I don't include things just to be a slam against other people, but just to show, you know, that everyone has you know, I look at it from the legal perspective of what your rights are and what you do say, and in their lease agreement, it says that there's a clause that says tenants who advocate hatred and the taking of innocent lives will not be tolerated. And so based on that kind of message, and this is an organization that owns and leases property to several religious organizations and churches and says, yo, we definitely support freedom of worship, freedom of belief, freedom of speech, but not when that speech is tied to hatred or the taking of innocent lives. So when you advocate violence and you say things with that disregard, and you know what? I heard someone on a different radio show say this, but I loved it so much that hold on, that was the end of the news. Thank you very much for the news there.
Oh my goodness.
That's me too.
The news is always signified by the laugh of Latrice Royale from RuPaul's Drag Race, who, congratulations by the way, just got engaged.
Yes,
and who a few years ago tucked me for the first time live on the air, and then that got picked up on it was picked up like a queer tea. Radio show's host get his candy tucked by Latrice Royale. So she and I have a very special bond.
Yep.
Half naked Latrice Royale, just chilling, long nails.
I don't know
who
you're lying to. Nobody that's touched your wiener has a special bond with
telling
you.
Me to like, she's like, get in that car.
The glue adhesive on the tape.
She's like, get in that car. She's like, take a picture of that one, honey. Snatch the cat back. Anyway, what was I gonna say?
Something about the context of the article.
The specifics of the
lease agreement.
The article in your hand. The lease agreement you were going.
The legal. I think you were done.
However,
I'm not. What I love about this is that it proves that even though we have freedom of speech as a country, people need to understand that freedom of speech doesn't mean that you can go around saying whatever you do, because it means that the government can't retaliate against you. It doesn't mean that people can't retaliate against you. So if you're on a subway or out in public or out anywhere and you decide to start spewing your mouth, freedom of speech does not protect you from people or companies firing you or people kicking you out of your apartment or lease agreement.
Oh, so DJ stupid. Lee is here. She's so pretty.
Oh, look at her headband.
Other things going on with Orlando. I think it's been very cool that a bunch of the performers that we know personally, Axel Andrews, Mr. Miss Adrian, you know, I know Nima from Pulse, a lot of them have been making their presence known all over the country in different cities at different Pride events to not only perform, but to take the message of Orlando, not only to take their art, but to kind of take, you know, this is Orlando and we're strong. And I know they've raised a lot of great money, not only for victims, for the One Orlando Fund, but also for the Pulse. Our Pulse family members, I know that the Pulse bar is still set up at the world famous Parliament House. They're giving, you know, people that are out of jobs because the club has been closed down. Got a chance to go to the hospital, got to go see a friend of the show who's been in here several times, Angel Cologne. You know, got to go see him. He was, you know, shot several times, and you know, room was littered with balloons and cards. You know, and I don't know where my mind goes, but my first thought was, you know, wouldn't it be really funny if you just really had a big fear of balloons, like you had, you're secretly terrified of balloons, and people keep bringing them in, like, no more balloons.
You wake up and there's balloons all over the room.
Nurses are like, got these for you. We're like, oh God, no. Post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's a legitimate phobia.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Can you look up what balloonophobia is?
Balloonophobia.
Balloonophobia.
I have a legit fear.
Next week,
with
Learning with Leigh Berry, phobias and their weird.
Oh, can you do that for next week? Look up some of the best ones for phobia and bringing back that information next week. And DJ Leah, it's future time. You good? Okay. Well, listen. As our outro music starts to play there for us, I wanted to say thank you very much for cast and crew coming in today. Steven, did you have a fun time hanging out with us today?
I did. Thanks for having me.
You know, you were not the Carson Kressley of radio. I was very honored to have you with us.
I don't know what that means.
It just meant if you had tried too hard and tried like to be way too cheesy. Or
I don't
just,
try
like,
at anything.
Thank you very much. How can people stay in touch with you? I hope you come and see us again sometime.
You can find me on the Face Place, Steven Johnson, or you can see me at the World Face Parliament House as a footlight player there, at Hamburger Mary's at Broadway Brunch, downtown, or anywhere that'll hire me.
Thank you very much. And then over there to Cody. Cody, good to see you again, man. We missed you for a couple weeks. I'm glad you're back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
What do you got going on this week?
I actually don't know. I have not. This is the first week where I really have not planned anything, but I do want to go see The Purge, so if anyone wants to come with me, then just hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be purging later, but it's just because I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings, and, you know.
And it's because you're getting fat.
I'd rather have the Caribbean jerk come out of this than that. You know what? I still make way more money than you and have better credit, so we're good.
You're right.
Lady Barry, what do you got going on this week?
He called you fat.
He's not wrong.
He called me fat yesterday. I left him at Panda Express.
Yeah, he drove away.
I drove away.
Oh, okay. And he couldn't afford it, so you know he was just sitting there in the parking lot.
I bought that shit.
He did buy it.
Well, good job.
I got coffee this morning.
Call him fat after. You call him fat after. Oh.
Almost made it, dude. Almost made it. Last Lady Bear, we got to close out. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, everyone. That's it for today's special edition of Outlet Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, I wish you enough. Fight good fights, let justice roll, and always swing first. I messed up my whole outro there just because I had to deal with the dump button. So anyway, peace, love, and pulse.
Bye.
I'm Justice. And
I need to start coming up with like outros.
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in the
How are you ruined on the air? How are you ruined
you
on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 Fabulous.
We here in Out Loud Orlando give that 1, 2, 3.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
Yay.
That was the gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jeez.
It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. No. Because
we're matching the funds
in
Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over it.
You
it's
could
such
not,
a good idea.
No, no, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
you know why?
You're passionate about it.
Do you know why?
You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says, I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess warrior Princess Xena style.
It's,
It's all
food. Out Loud Orlando, ruining lives all across America.
On a daily basis.
Daddy Poppers!
No.
I'm not saying that.
You I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha-ha.
I've been dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
Wait,
out.
Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour.
Of course.